Gary already shared most of my introduction, so I'm going to skip to the point. First of all, I'm going to pray. So Lord, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to share today. I thank you that your timing is perfect. I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you love to meet us where we are and to reveal yourself in our place of need. And so today, Lord, I pray that your words alone would be spoken and that your heart would be conveyed and that we could receive from you everything you have for us today. In Jesus' name. So I look around Narkis and at other believers here in Israel, and I just am amazed at the faithfulness and the steadfastness and these amazing rooted people. And I count it an honor to be here among you and to get to run this race beside you in this season. As I was praying through the message today, I was looking out my window and there's this huge tree. And of course, yesterday it was very, very windy. And I'm watching this wind just like tear through the trees and push it and shape it. And I was thinking about how not only is that the Holy Spirit at times in our life, but also adversity and challenges and things that we face, and how that wind, all of those winds, all of those circumstances, cause us as believers to have to go deep, to dig down into the roots, to get living water in the deepest places. And I just honestly want to say, Kol hakavod, like all respect to those of you who have been here laboring for so long. I can't wait. Like, I can't imagine the day that you enter glory and the Lord shows you all the work, you know, like what your heart and what your life has done here and the fruit that it's caused, not only here in the land, but in everywhere that you go and in everyone that you've known. And that's been the biggest thing that struck me as we've entered into this place, is these amazing, faithful people who live here and labor here and serve here and love here. So I'm happy to be among you, and I bless you today. So, in Psalm 1:3, it says, "He, or you, are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. All he does prospers." And in Isaiah 61, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And that is you. That is us in this place, a planting of the display of the Lord's splendor. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would increase your life in us, that you would refresh us today, that you would accomplish all you desire in and through our lives. I'm going to start by sharing a little bit about our story. And I think that you'll see, I'm amazed at the fact that all these fires and what's happening currently in Israel and our story, Justin and I, and how the Lord has made us specifically to respond in times of crisis. So I'll get there. But Justin and I met actually in 2010 in Haiti, responding to the earthquake. We both were on-the-ground directors for separate organizations, disaster relief organizations. We met there about 8 days into the earthquake, and we were married 6 months later in June. There's this phrase that I like. Justin doesn't like for me to say it, but I say that I love crisis. And I know that sounds weird. It's not right. But what I really love is who God is in crisis and what he does. And so, not only because I met my husband in crisis, but because of who he is. Because every place of need that we have, there's an invitation to encounter the Lord there. How many of you have ever experienced crisis in your personal life, national life? Okay? How many of you walked away with a knowledge of God that you didn't have before? You encountered him in that place, and he revealed himself to you, and it's always good. It's always worth it. And so I was actually in Thailand in 2004, standing on the southern shore of Thailand when the tsunami came in, standing there. I mean, with my camera going, I should run, taking pictures. And we were waiting on our private taxi at the top of the seawall. And just as the wave came over the wall and poured over the sides, our private taxi showed up. We jumped in the van and we drove off. Not a water, drop of water on us, driving. And right away, the Lord spoke two, he just dropped two verses in my heart, Isaiah 55 and Isaiah 43. And so I want to visit Isaiah 55. And I just feel this is so timely. Of course, it's the Lord. So Isaiah 55, I'm just going to highlight some key verses there. Number one, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. And then dropping down to verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. I feel like in the context of crisis, I mean, the Lord dropped this verse into my heart as we were driving away from this enormous tsunami that we would ultimately see how it affected so many people and lives and nations. And he says, turn to me while I am near. Come to me. You who are in great need, come to me. It's an invitation. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. And my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, so many times in crisis, everyone's like, how could this happen? What's going on? Where is God? You know, we could never understand. So often it's so hard to understand what the Lord is doing, especially in that moment when that really hard thing is happening. It's hard to understand. But he says, my thoughts and my ways are so much higher than yours. And he promises, he says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish. And it doesn't even stop there. It's not even just about us. It's not even that his word will accomplish something in us. It goes beyond that. It's beyond that. He goes on to say, it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Everything that he gives to us is not meant just for us. The revelation that we gain, the way we encounter him, it's meant to be given away. And it's meant to be for generations. And so he says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which it was sent. And furthermore, like thinking of this in the context of crisis, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst before you. The trees and the fields will clap their hands. And this will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. And personally, I know from events and like crisis in my own life, my dad died when I was 25 of cancer. And after that, I was like, Lord, I need a dad. And you say in your word that you are my father and I need you to show up. And I can tell you countless ways that tangibly he has responded as my father. Like, I have come to know the Lord as my father because of that place of need. And being single till 35, that's its own crisis for real in my own life. I've come to know the Lord in ways that I needed him. And I've seen it also in responding to crisis. Justin and I met in Haiti. As we said, we were both there for 4 or 5 months. And to see the Lord reveal himself in that place of need. Specifically, there were people physically healed. Hands, many, many stories. People healed. Jesus was revealing himself in dreams. He still does this today. You know different stories. I'm sure you've heard many stories, but specifically in Haiti, he was revealing himself in dreams to people. Witch doctors were giving their lives to Christ. They would come to the medical clinics that Christians were running, and they'd say, Jesus appeared to me in a dream last night. How can I know him? How do I walk with this one named Jesus? And there were stories of supernatural rescue and relief. Angels bringing water and food to people who were trapped for days and weeks. I mean, the way the Lord reveals himself in a place of need is unbelievable. And their hearts are turned to faith. I mean, I believe that it's all about a knowledge of Jesus and walking with him and knowing him in a personal way. He delights. Another thing, this is the part that gets me. The Lord loves to use us. Like, all these people, the Lord was revealing himself to in Haiti in dreams, right? I mean, Jesus is coming to them in the fullness of light and life and power in their dreams, and yet he would still say, tomorrow, on the hill by your house, there will be a man or a group of people or this person wearing yellow, and he will tell you how to walk with me, how to learn from me, he will tell me all about you. He'll tell you all about me. And it's just like, why? I mean, it's amazing. Jesus was with you in your dream, but he still chooses to use me to walk with you, to reveal himself to you. Like, it's amazing. So this is why I love crisis. So as God reveals himself in each place of need, we gain revelation about who he is and who we are in it. You know, I know the Lord as my Father, and I know him as faithful. And those revelations that we've gained from him out of need and personal experience, we can stand on those things. I can stand on that. I know that the Lord is faithful. And I can fight in that. When the enemy says other things, when circumstances say other things, I can fight with that because I know that he's faithful. And lastly, I can rest in that. Actually, it's not lastly, it's thirdly. I can rest in that. And lastly, I can give it away. When I pray for someone, when I enter into a situation like a fire or a death in the family or somebody who's really struggling, I know the promise inherent in that need. I know that the Lord is going to show up. I know that he loves to reveal himself. And that is what we carry as believers. We carry the hope of the world. We carry the hope of eternity. And we carry the one who loves people extravagantly. And so, this is what I love. And this is what God loves to do. A significant crisis that we faced, actually, just before coming to Israel. We were 20 weeks pregnant with our third child, Kinza. And it was 3 days before our scouting trip to Israel. We knew that we were coming. We were coming for a quick visit in November before we moved here. And we found out that she had a large cyst in her brain. We went to find out if she was a girl or a boy, and we found out a lot more than that. The doctors right away were like, she has a huge cyst in her brain. So it kind of ushered us on that path to where they're like, visit the genetic counselor. I mean, that day you find out this terrible thing is going on with your child. Why don't you talk to the genetic counselor? She'll tell you all of your choices, and, you know, which of course included you have a couple more weeks to decide if you're going to keep the baby. You know, and we're like, okay, we already made up our mind. But the amazing thing was a few weeks beforehand, the Lord had given me the verse or the passage, Psalm 112. So I'm going to share that with you. Because when the Lord shared it with me, I thought it was about crisis. Because we train people in responding to crisis, and we've written a book even about preparing your home and family for crisis, because as we're prepared as believers, both practically and spiritually, we can respond in times of crisis. And it's an amazing gift that we have to give. So I thought that when he gave me this verse, it was about like crisis. But it turns out it was a word for me personally. And this is what it says. Psalms 112. First thing, praise the Lord. It's definitely something we learned during the journey, and one of those nuggets that he told us is praise is not circumstantial. He is worthy of highest praise, period. So, number one, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Verse 6, surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. And in the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. last sentence, the longing of the wicked will come to nothing. And that day, as that genetic counselor shared with us all of our choices, I actually pulled out the word and I said, you know what? This is what the Lord says. He actually gave this to me several weeks ago, and this is what he says, and this is what I believe. And this woman was actually a Jewish woman from Israel who had come to live in Houston. And just to be able to speak the word of God and proclaim that over our lives and stand on it and rest in it and fight with it, it was a huge gift through this whole journey. So that day was like terrible, but there was so much peace. So 3 days later, we hopped on a plane, came to Israel, and began this journey with this child and believing for God's best. All along the way, the Lord would meet us. We had, of course, neurologists and neurosurgeons and neonatal specialists and all these meetings. And they would, you go to this meeting and you hear all this terrible news. That's all the terrible possible outcomes. And then you have the word of the Lord. And that's what we had to cling to. That's what we all have to cling to. And another nugget along the way, he said, actually, one of the appointments, the neurologist was like, just said all these terrible things. And I just felt like, that's a lie. And then a few weeks later, we met with the neurosurgeon. And the neurosurgeon looked at the MRI and he says, I mean, no, the baby is like 20 weeks old. He says, this baby is not going to need surgery, brain surgery. And this baby is not going to develop hydrocephalus. And I have it recorded, actually, on my phone. And so I'm driving home, and I had gone to the appointment alone, actually. I'm driving home, and I'm thinking, Lord, how could he say that with such authority? Like, he's looking at an image from a 20-week, you know, fetus. He said, because this is the word of the Lord. And I was like, done. And even now, I mean, you know, we still have to measure her head every month. We're supposed to measure her head and keep track of things and watch for signs and symptoms. And I just stand on that. I'm like, Lord, no, you said this baby will not develop hydrocephalus and this baby will not need brain surgery. And I'm just, you know, like, just standing on the word of the Lord. So we'll keep going. So fast forward to the time of her birth. Okay. There's like 12 people in the room, not including myself and my husband and the doula. We have all these teams of people. And we actually had to contend for if she was breathing and if she could nurse, that she would stay with us. Because, of course, they wanted to whisk her away to another part of the hospital. And I could go visit her after she was born. And we were like, that's not going to work for us. So they're all standing and they're all waiting. And the baby comes out, and she's crying, and she's nursing, and she's totally healthy. And they continue to check on her the several days that we were there. And teams of doctors would come in, and they would do all their exams, and they're like, she's healthy. She's whole. They just couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe what was happening. So she's never left our side. And it's been amazing. I mean, she continues. I really believe that the prayers, there were so many prayers prayed on her behalf, and I really believe they've like blessed her brain and blessed her body. She's amazing. And so at the 3-month visit, we went back to the doctor and he was did another MRI, and I was so disappointed to see that the cyst was still there. I really believed that it was like gone, that she was completely healed and the cyst would be gone and everything would be perfect. But the doctor's looking at her and observing and doing the things, and he's like, she's totally healthy. And I was like, okay. So anyways, the cyst should be completely affecting all of her motion. She shouldn't have like any motion, any movement going on. And her corpus callosum is like malformed, doesn't work, isn't proper. And she has no sign or symptom of any neurological issue. So she's healed, and it's amazing. So all that to say, that all happened. That was June. We knew we were called to Israel. It's been almost a year since our visit. And so 3 more months passed. She's 6 months old. It's October. And we're like, okay, it's time to go. We're going to Israel. That was October. By December, we had all of our funding, and we moved here in January. It was amazing. And I was like, Lord, are we ready? like we've been focusing on the baby. Are you sure that we're ready? Like, it's time, we're funded, we're going. He's like, I've been preparing you this whole time. I've been preparing you. And he broke down all the things that we had learned in the process and all of what he had said and the words that he'd given us. And so today, I just want to say that he's good and he's faithful. And in times of crisis, in times of need, he is going to show up. And he loves to reveal himself. And he's always doing so much more than we know. And so today, what I feel like he would love to give, I feel like a big need today, as I prayed over today, the verse I kept hearing over and over was, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And so I would love to just take some time and have people have the time to present your needs to the Lord, because you don't necessarily need to hear more from me. We all just need to hear from the Lord. And I feel like today he wants to give you tangible Sabbath rest. And whether that's a promise, whether that's a reminder of a word that he's spoken, or just rest. So, Liz or someone, would you mind playing the piano? And I just would love, like, quiet. I'm not going to talk anymore. But really, just take some time. I mean, 5-10 minutes. And just put yourself in a posture to receive what the Lord desires to give. I would encourage you to lay down all of your worries, everything that you're carrying. You guys carry so much. And you've been laboring so long. And so just to come before him and to lay it all at his feet and to allow him to love on you. He delights in you. He's pleased with you. He knows you. And he loves you and he loves his people here. And everything that we receive from him, we can give away. So I ask that today, Lord, I ask that you would pour out your love, that you would pour out your rest, that in every place of need, Lord, that you would encounter each person here. You are enough. And today you desire to give rest to your children. So all you who are weary, all you who are burdened, I will give you rest. Thank you, Lord.